Greetings and God bless you, my friends and neighbors, and welcome to the Wow Factor, the word of wisdom designed to inspire, empower, and enlighten you in just a few short minutes at a time. My name is D.L. Wallace, and I am elated to be the host of this day's call, where our motto is simple: your soul will be blessed in 8 minutes or less. Our request is simple as well. Send this podcast to your coworkers, your neighbors, your loved ones, and friends so they can have some inspiration to make it through the course of their day. Let's jump right into our topic today, my friends, and that topic is simply, what's for dinner? What's for dinner? Now, I submit to you, my friends, that this is probably one of the most popular questions on the planet, because although they say breakfast is the most important meal of the day, none can argue that dinner is the most anticipated meal of the day. In fact, if you go to a restaurant, they've got a lunch menu, and then they've got a dinner menu. Yes, my friends, and everyone anticipates those items for dinner. By the same token, in the spiritual life, the what's for dinner question also has a relevance, because in this Christian life, we must be fed spiritually, just like we're fed physically. Remember, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:2, when the Bible says, I fed you with milk and not with meat. And then we discover in Matthew 5:6, the Bible tells us, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And remember, Jesus declared in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst. Yes, my friends and neighbors, just like we need physical food, we need spiritual food as well. And isn't it great to know that we have a God that's willing to provide what we need on the spiritual aspect for the food that we've got to have in the EAT acronym? These are three things, three ways that we become stronger in Christ by absorbing and consuming the goodness God has for us. That E in our EAT acronym reminds us of the importance of empowerment. Yes, my friends and neighbors, empowerment. You see, that's the art of sharing the recipe. Have you ever gone to someone's house and liked the food they cook so much that you asked for the recipe? Now, if they were gracious guests, they would give it to you. But some may say, no, I can't share this recipe because it's been a family tradition handed down. I've got to keep it secret. Well, Jesus, thank God, is not like that. He freely shares with us his recipes. He said in John 14:4, and where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Yes, my friends and neighbors, see, Jesus has transparency and trust and is willing to train us on everything that he knows so that we then can have it as well. Remember in Acts 1:8, he says that we would receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon us. And then he said in 1 Corinthians 2:12, that we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of the recipe, as it were, which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You see, Jesus cares enough about us to teach us what he knows, shows us how he does it, and takes us where he is. Yes, my friends and neighbors, if you ever study the book of John chapter 14, you'll discover that Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I'm coming again to receive you to myself. And then we discover in 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says, as he is, so are we in this world. Yes, my friends and neighbors, God has a desire to share the recipe. He wants to empower us with his goodness, empower us with his grace. Remember, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 10, verses 19 and 20, Jesus was talking to his disciples. First, he gave them power, sent them out two by two, and they were astonished at the fact that they could do everything that he could do when they used his name. And he says, nothing by any means shall hurt you. He gave us all power, my friends and neighbors. He reveals to us the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Yes, my friends and neighbors, God specializes in empowering his people with the recipe. That A in our EAT acronym reminds us of the importance of agreement. You see, most of the time we eat foods, and sometimes food agrees with us and sometimes it does not. And then there are other foods that we must develop and acquire taste for it. You see, in this Christian life, we've got to be quick to recognize the power of agreement. It's agreeing with the word of God. And the more agreeable to the word we become, the more successful we are. Remember the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and Jesus gave him a powerful word, but that word didn't agree with him. And the Bible says he went away sad. But then when he called all the disciples, he called Peter and he called James and he called Luke. They all agreed with the word and followed him immediately. Yes, my friends and neighbors, the book of Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, can two walk together? together, except they be agreed. Then we discover in James 1 and 22 that we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. And then we discover in Matthew 18 through 20, God tells us that whatever we agree on, you know, two of you on earth agree, harmonize together and make symphony together about whatever, anything that we ask, it will come to pass. It will be done by our Father in heaven. Yes, my friends and neighbors, see, agreement requires adjustment. You know, sometimes it's not always easy to do exactly what the Word of God says, but we make the adjustment. If you don't like broccoli, put a little cheese on it. Make the adjustment. You'll be able to tolerate it a little bit better. If you don't like beets, put it in a smoothie and taste it thin, and you might like it a little bit better. See, adjustment requires us, my friends and neighbors, to make the necessary shifts in our lives to do what the Word of God asks us to do. We've got to be in agreement. How much in agreement are you with God's Word? Do you receive it with gladness and with joy? I pray, my friends and neighbors, that we all become more agreeable to the food that God wants to provide. That tea reminds us of the importance of being thankful. I would say one of the worst experiences as a cook is when you prepare a meal for somebody and no one says thank you. I like the prayers that people pray when they say, Lord, we give thanks for the meal and for the hands that prepared it. That shows thankfulness. We know that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from God, like the Bible outlines in John chapter 1. And we also recognize, like the Bible says in Psalms 100 and verse 4, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, in his courts with praise. We're thankful unto him and bless his name. Then the Bible says in Colossians 3 and 15 that the peace of God should rule in our hearts and we should be thankful. Yes, my friends and neighbors, see, thankfulness requires thoughtfulness. We know that God is thinking about us. He tells us in Jeremiah 29 and 11, but how much are we thinking about God? See, thankfulness requires thoughtfulness. If you're thinking about the chef, you'll say my compliments to the chef. If you really like the food, you'll say something about the person who prepared it. And God is the one that prepares for us this wonderful dinner, and that's why we appreciate it so much, my friends and neighbors. I ask you, what's for dinner? God has prepared something great for us. He stands at the door and knocks and says, if we come, if we let him in, he will sup with us, my friends and neighbors. He'll dine with us. Yes, my friends, we can. That's all the time of yours I'm going to take today. Until we talk again on tomorrow, God bless you, God bless your families, and embrace the new and improving you.